Is Tristan here? I got to cut Tristan off at the path. Okay. Are you ready for Children's Church? Those for Children's Church, if you can come up here, I want to ask you guys some questions. Are you going to Children's Church?
Yeah.
I thought you graduated. Oh, my. Okay. Let's see. Okay. All right. This is your cousin right here. What's her name? Addie. Where's your cousin at?
I'm the new kid.
You're the new kid. Welcome. All right. I thought you had a cousin here. She's in the nursery? Oh, okay. Okay, here's my questions. Three questions. One, who made the world?
God.
I thought you raised your hand. Okay. God, who made you?
God.
God made me too. Okay. Now, the third question is, how do you know that God made you? How do you know that God made you? He's the only one that can do that. What? What? No one else can make people. If they want to survive, they need God. That's good. Thank you very much. Yay. All right. You know, I don't know who to root for next spring in basketball. I don't know if I should root Nick for Michigan State Spartans or the University of Michigan Wolverines, because Ben is going to the University of Michigan, and he's going to start this summer. Is that right? So let's remember to pray for him as well. Spartans or Wolverines? It's a toss-up. Okay. This summer, God wants to show each of us His majesty. He wants us to see Him as He's reflected in the sunsets, the sunrises that we will see. God wants us to see Him as He's reflected in His son and daughters, in us. You see, God's majesty, His splendor, is reflected in us. And we find that in Psalm 8, the passage that Joe read for us. And let's go there this morning. God's majesty is reflected in us. I saw yesterday in the news that there was this majestic eagle. It had a wingspan of 8 feet. Its talons were so strong it could pick up a large dog. It got lost. But it came back to Kent, England, where it was from, and they had a picture of this giant eagle on the arm of its master. It was a hunting eagle. Imagine that, the majesty of an eagle tamed by a man. In this passage, we're going to look at God's majesty, which is supreme, and we're going to see our majesty as human beings, which is quite surprising. First of all, God's majesty is supreme. Creation displays His majesty. Psalm 8, verse 1, it begins, O Yahweh, our Adonai, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. The word name here is not necessarily talking about God's names that are in this verse, Yahweh, which is the personal name for God, or Adonai, which is the fact that he's the master of everything in this world, as the kids well said. But name here refers to just who God is, what he is like, his character, his reputation, what we not only know of God, but what we don't know of God. Who is God? God, something about him that's very, very true, is that he is majestic, that he is all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing. His character is like that of an eagle. Wow, he's awesome. In Psalm 76:4, it says, "You are resplendent, more majestic than the mountains of glory." The psalmist says, "I've seen the mountains. I've seen Mount Hermon capped with snow. And God, you're more majestic than that." I remember flying in a plane, coming down the Columbia River Gorge, and in my window, it was filled with Mount Hood in its white top, sitting in the clouds. I go, "Ah, God made Mount Hood. God made the Columbia Gorge. God is awesome more than that mountain." Another psalm, Psalm 93:4, says, "More than the sounds of many waters," I think of a waterfall, "than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty." How many of you have been to Whitefish Bay? Have you seen the Maritime Museum there? It's filled with remnants of shipwrecks because of the might of the waves of Lake Superior. God made that lake. God controls those waves. God is mightier than the waves. He is all majestic. His heavens reflect for us a taste of his splendor. It says, "You have displayed your splendor above the heavens." And in fact, beyond even what we see in the heavens is God's majesty. And let me tell you, the heavens are pretty majestic as it is. There's a beautiful Hebrew parallelism here. In the first part of the verse, we see his name is majestic on the earth. And then we see that his splendor is in the heavens. Oh, what a splendorous God we have. Habakkuk 3:3 says his splendor covers the heavens. I hope you get to see a sunrise this summer. That little red, orange, I'm kind of colorblind, so it's hard for me to know. Yellow ball coming up gets bigger and bigger and is just splendorous and covers the whole earth and lights it and gives heat. God made that to reflect himself. I went to a fireworks display at the ocean one year. When the fireworks were all over and it was dark, God put on quite a display. One star came out, and then another, and then another, and then you could see the Milky Way and all the constellations. And I go, wow, this is more moving than the fireworks display. And it's only God's finger work, his handiwork. I love what it says here in verse 3, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers." But some mock God today. Some poo-poo that he created the world, that he sustains the world. As one of the kids said, He helps us survive. But God has a defense, a stronghold against the naysayers of God being majestic. And you know what that defense is? You know what quiets the critics? According to this, it's the words of children. Verse 2, from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established your strength. Because of your adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. There are enemies of God today. There are those who say there is no God, that the world has just evolved. What makes those critics quiet is the words of God's children. That's amazing. The word nursing babes here refers to those about 2 or 3 years old. That's in David's day, as far as we know, how long they nursed their children. Confessions of love and trust of children refute the naysayers. Have you ever had a child say something that made you think of God in a fresh way? That's what children do. When Jesus came to this earth, and just a few days before he died to pay for our sin, he went into the temple and he healed people of their diseases and he helped the blind to see again. And there in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done. And the children who were shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" The religious leaders became indignant and said to Jesus, "Do you hear what the children are saying?" And Jesus said to these religious leaders these words from Psalm 8. He said, "Have you not read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, God has prepared praise for himself?" Children, they affirm God's majesty. Who made you? God made us. How do you know that? Because people can't make people. Only God can. The mouth of children are the answer to the critics. We have a majestic God. He is supreme over everything, and he calls for our worship. Now, in light of this, what is amazing is that we as human beings are majestic also. Mankind's majesty is surprising. God's majesty is reflected in us as well. Look at verses 3, and then we'll get into verse 4. He says, "When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him? Or the son of man that you care for him? Yet you made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty." As human beings, we are also crowned with majesty. That is an amazing thing. The heavens, I mean, they are so vast. How is it that God stops to consider us little human beings? I thought I was pretty special. I thought I was important. I thought the town that I lived in was pretty important. Hood Sport, Washington. Ever been there? No one's been to, you've been to Hood Sport. She grew up in Lillywop. It's right there, you know, Hood Sport is right between Lillywop and Potlatch, by Dosey Wallops, Duckabush, and Squim. That's where we grew up. We thought that was the center of the universe. Then I went to Los Angeles. People there thought they were the center of the universe. But I had to take a flight home to Seattle one time, and it was my first interstate flight. And it was so interesting as we took off from Los Angeles and this great big metropolis that went on forever, it seemed like all of a sudden shrunk. And the college I went to shrunk to nothing. And everything was small and the little houses became small. Even the sign Hollywood, you couldn't see it anymore. It was all shriveled up. And God's expansive creation was before me. And I thought, I'm pretty small. If I was down there, I couldn't see me. We humans are so small in light of the universe that reflects a little bit of God's majesty. You know, the nearest galaxy to us is the Canis Major Dwarf Galaxy. And it's 125,000 years away at the speed of light. In other words, if you want to go from our Milky Way to this other dwarf galaxy, it would take you 125,000 years if you went at the speed of light to get there. We're pretty small compared to the universe that God made. God is so majestic. And so the psalmist is amazed. And he says, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you thought of him? God. You think he has enough to do to keep all the planets rotating right around the sun and all this to keep us in the right heat and temperature and everything else? Oh. You think he would have enough going on? Why is it that he thinks of us? It's amazing to the psalmist. It's interesting, very recently, we recognized that we needed to have some kind of a covering protection for the little lip to the whiteboard that's in our gym, because we put a basketball hoop up right above it. And we didn't want kids, you know, running into that and getting hurt, etc. So we said, well, you know, can we cover this? So we investigated and we found out the place that we got the whiteboards from, they have actually a covering for this. But it's as long as a whiteboard, so you can't put it in a little box, have it mailed to you. It doesn't fold up. So we found out the only way we can get it is to have it brought in a large semi-truck from Texas. So we called the Lucas family that go to our church because they drive semi-truck. They rarely get to Texas. We said, if you happen to get to be in Texas, could you pick this up for us? A few days later, they got an unusual call from Texas. Can you come to Texas? We've got a load for you. They went to Texas. Now, if you know in Texas, you can be in one spot in Texas. Another spot in Texas could be 12 hours from you. Our little covering was 1 hour from where they were headed to go. So they brought this great big tube thing back. Our God, who keeps the universe going, cares about the details of our lives. That is amazing. He considers us. It says here, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? The word care is used in the Bible of God visiting his people, coming to them in a time of calamity. It's used in Exodus chapter 3 where God comes to Moses and says, I've heard the afflictions of my people and I've come to do something about it. That's his care. He does something. He intercedes. He intervenes on our behalf. That's the great, majestic God that we have. He knows what we're thinking right now, and he cares about us. I love how it's put in the New Testament in Galatians chapter 4. But when the right time came, God sent His own Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent His Son to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that He could adopt us as His very children. You talk about care. He gave His own Son that we could be His children. In Isaiah 52, it talks about God that His work in saving us is the work of His arm. The work of His fingers, the detail work, is all of the universe in the heavens. The work of His strong arm is reaching out to save us. He loves us. He's concerned for us. And He has elevated us. Look at verse 5 again. You have made Him a little lower than God. That's pretty high. A little lower than God is very high. Of all the things that God has made, human beings have a majesty that's unique. He made us just a little bit lower than God. Wow. The word God there is the word Elohim. Some have translated angels. But we find from the rest of Scripture that God has made us not lower than angels. If you this morning are a believer in Jesus, if you trust that Jesus paid for your sin and that's why you're going to heaven, the Bible says that God has angels who minister to you. They serve you, it says in Hebrews 1:14. And there's a promise in 1 Corinthians 6 that one day we as believers are going to judge the angels. Isn't that amazing? We're not made lower than angels. We have been made higher than the angels, a little lower than God. Like royalty, He crowns us with honor and dignity. Like King Solomon, we have majesty and splendor. You crown Him with glory and majesty. I like what it says in 1 Peter 2. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has chosen us to be His representatives, to share His good news to the world, to show the angels His amazing love. His majesty is not only seen in the heavens, but it's seen on the earth through us. He's made us and crowned us with majesty. Now in Hebrews chapter 2, in talking about Jesus, it uses this verse in chapter 8:5 here, talking about how Christ Himself became lower than God, how He took on human flesh so He would know what we go through. He understands us. I mean, you talk about God's love. God Himself stepped down a rank to be human to the point of death so He can sympathize and understand our weaknesses, so He can pay for our sin. And then God raised Jesus, crowning Him with all glory and power. Oh, God loves us. He became one of us. He limited Himself to a little speck to take our place, to show His great love and power. What a great God we have. He has made us to reflect His majesty through ruling the animals. Very, very interesting. In verse 6, you make Him to rule over the works of your hands. You've put all things under His feet. All sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, of the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. We're the rulers of the world. We have been made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. And one of the ways that's shown out is that we get to boss the animals around. We get to tame them. When we were in Vancouver, BC, we went several times to Stanley Park, to the aquarium there. And they had killer whales in this, it's pretty good sized aquarium, outdoors. They were tamed. They taught the whales to do tricks, to jump through hoops and all these kind of things. Man controlled the killer whales. Man controls an 8-foot spanned eagle. Wow. There's one family in our church here, when I go to their house, they have a dog who greets me at the door. He knocked me over once. But we and no other being is able to do this. We can tame animals. We are to rule over them and care for them. And that is a form of majesty, that ruling, and it reflects our majestic ruler, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God's majesty is supreme. Man's majesty is surprising. For God's majesty is reflected in us. Let's go to verse 9. See if this is familiar to you. O Yahweh our Adonai, O Lord our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Where have you seen that before? Verse 1. It's how the verse began. But as he comes to the end, he can't help but say it again, because as he's thought about God's majesty in the heavens, he's also thought about God's amazing grace in giving us majesty on earth. Look at this verse. O Lord, our Lord. God is our Adonai. He is our Lord. He is our ruler. He is our master. He is Lord of all creation. One time I was very discouraged, and I went for a walk out along this little inlet of the ocean, and it got night and dark, and the majesty of the skies was there. And I recognized, don't make such a big deal of what's happening to you. Just trust God. He's big. He is our Lord. O Lord, our Lord. And God, in his wonderful, powerful way, as I saw those constellations, he did something amazing. He spoke to my heart. He put some things on my mind. He said, relax. Trust me. I love you. And he reminded me of Ephesians 2:10, which is for every believer. It says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I recognize that God's taking care of me. He has a plan for me. He's working things out. Our Lord, what a great God we have. Not only does he speak through the stars, but he speaks to our hearts to encourage us. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We're to take care of the animals. This week I got a little bit convicted. because I was reading all this about how we're to rule the animals, the works of his hands, verse 6, and I thought, boy, I'm not doing a very good job with my cats. I torment them. So I've resolved that I should be nicer to our cats. There's some verses in Deuteronomy, it talks about being nice to birds, taking care of their nest, etc. It's interesting, the end of Jonah, God talks about, shouldn't I care for the city of, 200,000 and the many animals that are there? I go, wow, I need to care about animals, especially when I eat them. No, anyhow, that's part of the caring, the cycle of life. What a great God we have. God's majesty is reflected through us. So let's, 3 points of application from this great chapter. Number one, because of God's majesty, let's worship him. Let's worship him. In Romans 1, verses 20 and 21, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that people are without excuse." But what have the majority of people in the world done? Romans 1:21, "Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks." God wants us, in response to knowing his majesty, to honor him, to thank him. So encouraging to see folks here gathered today to worship him, to thank him, to praise him from our hearts. Let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. But let's regularly, corporately, come and worship him. If you look at this psalm at the very beginning, there's what's called a superscription. And it says it's for the choir director. As you think of this application, we're to worship him. That's why we have this psalm in the Bible. It was written by David so the choir director could lead the choir and the orchestra. And the end of David's life, there were about 4,000 people in that choir and orchestra that led the whole assembly of the thousands of people of Israel in worship when they came to the temple at the feasts. This psalm is meant to be sung in public worship to God. And it's to be sung on the gittim, or the gittith, on the gittith. The gittith is either a tune from the city of Gath or an instrument from the city of Gath. One of my scholarly commentaries said that the gittith is a forerunner to the guitar. And I go, is he kidding? No, it was a stringed instrument, this gittith, that we get the word guitar from. This is meant to be used in worship with instruments and song to God. And what a reminder it is that we're to worship him from our hearts. The second application, the first being to worship, and the second is that we're to care for his creatures, like our cats. And the third is that we should respect one another. We were made in the image of God. Adam and Eve were. And after the flood, God said, we're to institute capital punishment because man is made in the image of God. We're still in the image of God. In the book of James in the New Testament, it says we're not to curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. When we recognize the majesty that God has placed on every person in this world, we need to respect them. We need to care for them. We need to recognize that every individual in the world reflects the very majesty of God himself. and we should seek to invite them to know Jesus Christ so they can experience the wonder of that majesty eternally and have forgiveness of sin. But let's respect others, loving, forgiving, leading them to Jesus Christ. Oh, God's majesty is reflected through us. In closing, I'd like to share a story of the song Majesty. We sang that earlier this morning. It's written by a man named Jack Hayford. And this little story helps us understand what led Jack to write the song Majesty. In 1977, Jack writes, "My wife Anna and I spent our vacation in Great Britain. It was the same year as the 25th anniversary of Queen Elizabeth's coronation. Symbols of royalty were abundantly in evidence throughout England. For years, I've been convinced that the provisions of Christ for the believer not only include our forgiveness of sin, but provide restoration to a royal relationship with God as sons and daughters born into the family through His Majesty, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Within that relationship as people of the kingdom, I felt the Bible disclosed a new dimension of dominion over all the works bequeathed to us as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. One day, as Anna and I drove along together in England, the opening lyrics and melody of Majesty simply came to my heart. I continued driving, asking Anna to jot the words and melody lying in the notebook she had beside her. Because of this, she laughingly insists that she wrote Majesty. But as they saw that Majesty in England, the changing of the guard, the home of Winston Churchill, and just what it would be like to be raised in a place where there's an expectation of being a ruler. He says, so powerfully did the sense of Jesus Christ's royalty and His dignity and majesty fill my heart that I seemed to feel something new of what it meant to be His. The accomplished triumph of His cross has not only unlocked us from the chains of our bondage and restored us to fellowship with God, but He has also unfolded to us a life of authority over sin and hell and raised us to partnership with Him in His throne now. The majesty that He sensed the royalty of England had prompted him to think of Christ's majesty and the majesty that He has invested in us. And so he wrote Majesty. Worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Kingdom authority flows from your throne unto your own, your anthem we raise. Let's pray together. Father, help us to better grasp the majesty that you give us that will spark us to worship, to serve you. Lord, we're so little, and yet you've made us so great for your glory. Thank you. Touch our hearts. Help us to realign where we need to be with you. Father, I just want to pray right now for this other offering we're going to take right at this time to help people in our community. Lord, we confess that we get critical of people that aren't working, that have financial needs. Lord, help us to remember that they're made in the image of you. They're important. And help us to show your compassion to all people for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. The ushers could come at this time. We'll take up an offering to help the needy, particularly in our community as well as in our chapel. So go.